27, a Psalm of David. I love David. I hope you love David. There's so much we can learn from the sweet psalmist of Israel. This guy had it going on, man. You know, he was a poet. He was a warrior. He was a king. And most of all, he was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord God. He knew that he was nothing without the Lord. He knew that he could do all things with the Lord. And as we see in Psalm 27, he's facing a different trial, different than any other trial he's faced. He's got a group of folks coming after him. So this is a little different than fighting Goliath, a little different than the lion and the bear and other trials that the man's been through. But he's got this thing. Well, let me say it like this. He knows that he can do all things through the Lord. He knows that this, in the natural, this is a pretty hopeless situation. You know, he's talking about an army or a group of folks surrounding him, but he knows that God is his stronghold. God is his strong tower. God is his salvation. God is his light. So he's putting all his trust in the Most High God, and he's able to do that because God has been faithful to him in the past, the lion, the bear, the giant, all the other battles in his life. He knew that God was a faithful God. So as he's facing this new trial, this different trial, maybe completely different than any other trial he's ever faced, and analyze your life as well. You know, you've been through some hard times, and maybe you're in a difficult season right now. Maybe you're in a new season in life where you're like, man, I've never really been through a mess like this before. Well, listen, just like David put his trust and confidence in the Most High God, we need to do the same. If we look back over our life, we know God has been faithful. Amen? So David is facing this crisis, but we're going to pick up in Psalm 27. We're going to go through 8, 9, and 10, Lord willing, today. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. That's our text for today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing and your will being done in this service. I ask you, Lord, that you encourage and touch all of our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we will have a desire, that we will have a hunger to know you, to want to know more of you, to go into a deeper relationship with you than ever before. Thank you, Father God, that the things of this world will not have the pull on us, Lord, but we want you, Lord. We want nothing but you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. God is good. Give the Lord some praise, church people. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. So let's jump right into this. This is our third week into this. And David is he's going through this tough time. But look what he says here, Psalm 27 and verse 8. This is David talking about the invitation that God has given him, but also the invitation that God gives all of his people. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. So God says to his people, seek my face. And we say, well, what is kind of Bible-ese? What is it that it means, seek God's face? I don't quite understand that. Well, we can say, seek God's presence. You know what happens when we come into church and we worship the Lord together or collectively? You know what really should be going on is we should be seeking God's face. We should be worship, let me say it like this. Worship is seeking God's face or who God really is. In Scripture, a lot of times the mention of face is to say who a person is or what that person is. It's like this, when you see the expressions on somebody's face, you can kind of understand their inward emotions or what they're going through inwardly by their outward expressions. You can see if somebody's sad or happy or stressed out. You can see that on their face. You recognize somebody. You might see somebody from behind and say, man, that sure looks like Brother Wally. That sure looks like Brother Isaiah. But you don't know exactly for sure until you see their face. Somebody is known by their face. Who they are is by their face. That's kind of Bible talk. So God says to his people, seek my face, seek and hunger for me. And it's interesting, God doesn't say, hey, seek what I got in my hand, seek what kind of goodies I got for you. But he says, seek the person, seek who I am, want more of me. And this is the invitation that God gives all his people. We can see that. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 in a not related verse, but we do see where God invites his people to seek his face. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, every time I read this particular verse, that humble jumps out at me. And I don't know if it does that for you, but okay, so just briefly, not to camp here, but God wants his people to be humble people. All right. The Bible says absolutely nothing good about being prideful or arrogant. There's nothing good that comes along with that. And we take pride in our Lord. We take pride in the Most High God. But look at right here. It says, if my people, so he's talking to God's people. He's talking to, look at your neighbor, talking to Christian folks. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves. And see, that's an active thing. You humble yourselves. You take this and you, I can do all things through Christ. Let me stop being so stinking arrogant or prideful, but let me focus on God. Amen. Moving forward, call by my name, humble themselves and pray. And what's it say? And pray and seek my face. God wants us to seek him, to want more of him. And the more I grow in relationship with him, or the more intimately I get involved in him, the more this world is not going to have the pull on me that it used to. The more I see God for who he is, the more I'm going to be able to have peace in my trials, in my storms, like this situation that David's going through. He says, God, you have told me, you've told others, you've told me to seek your face. And David says, my heart says to you, or sincerely, God, man to supreme being, God the Father, your son is saying, sincerely, I do seek your face. All I want is more of you. All I want is more of you. And in this world, you know, in this life and America and all that good stuff, we can get captivated or sidetracked or even worried about the day-to-day needs of our lives, you know? Okay, but God says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God's face and what God wants. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well. So David gets that. He understands that in the face of overwhelming odds, he's like, I need you. I can't do this without you. I'm nothing without you. I'm dead meat without you. But you have asked me, invited me to seek your face, to get to know you, and that's my heart's desire. All I want is more of you. And I know as I hunger and thirst for more of you, the scripture says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, so because they'll be filled. I've paraphrased that. But see, the more you want of God, he's like, okay, we can do that. All right. That pleases him when we want to get to know him more. So anyways, let's look back at our text. Psalm 27 and verse 8. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. David knows, I need God. I can't do this without God. I'm dead meat without God. My life is wasted without God. And he says, okay, there's an army, there's a group of people, whatever's going on, whether metaphorically or realistically or physically, David's like, I need God. I can't do this without God. Okay, so look with me at James 4, because the Lord, this isn't just for David. So when we read scripture, obviously, it's not just to take a little picture of history about what happened in this guy's life, okay? But it's for us to see how God was faithful to him, and then obviously we apply that to our life Yeah, that's a no-brainer, so to speak. But look, it says, your face, Lord, do I seek? It's not a question mark. He's saying, I do seek your face. I want to know more of you. I need you. And that's the same for us. That needs to be the desire of our heart. Is it the desire of our heart? I don't know. I'm sure like everybody else, there's a tug of war between the flesh and what God wants. And David's at the place where he's like, no, I'm not giving in to fear. I'm not giving in to self-hatred. I'm not giving in to any of that stuff anymore. Okay, I'm a child of the Most High God, and I seek his face because that is, the more I know him, the more I realize how faithful he is. That is me running into that stronghold that David talked about in the first week, okay? So that's us. We seek God's face. We want more of God, and if you don't want more of God, we need to pray about that, you know, because that's what we're here for, is to give God glory. Moving forward, look at James 4 and verse 8. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says this right here, James 4, 8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Or seek God, and God's going to come running after you. Okay? So in other words, we can kind of look at it like this. God's not really into playing games, right? But if you're serious about wanting more of him, then he's going to be right there. And, you know, sometimes the whole reason or a big reason why we go through crazy times and hard times is so we realize, man, that God is the big thing. God is the big thing in the world. He's what truly matters, man. You know what I mean? Okay, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Now, this gets pretty hardcore, man, but James ain't playing games, man, as he writes this letter to the churches scattered. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Well, check this out. Wash your hands, you sinners. He's talking to Christian people. These letters are going to first-generation Christians in the churches that have been scattered. And so he's talking to God's people. He's talking to Christians. He says, okay, wash your hands, you sinners. Or stop sinning. Turn away from your sin. Stop being captivated by the things of this world. Remember, David says, you said seek your face, and man, I am. You are all I need. David's got it, man. Okay, and James says, okay, let's get this straight. You want more of God. You want God's help. Well, let's do this. Let's make sure that there's not any roadblocks in your relationship to the Most High God. Make sure that there's not something that is keeping God from hearing your prayers. And all God's people said, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we'll address that in a minute. But look, James has given you he's given us hardcore, awesome advice. Stop sinning. Stop. And not that we're not going to do that perfectly, but we all know there's things in our life that are not productive to our relationship with God. Those things, when we think about it, we're like, man, my gosh, man, I'm a Christian person. Why in the world would I do that? Why would I say that? Why would I think about that? Why did I watch that? You know what I'm talking about. Close. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Did I just get fired? Mama. James 4 verse 8, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts. What's James talking about? Stop sinning. He's saying, do that about face and repent. Yeah. Stop sinning and repent. And purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. This is James. And James is on fire. He is on fire for the Lord. You know, this is the half-brother of Jesus. He didn't get saved. He didn't ask his brother to come into his heart until after his brother's death, burial, and resurrection. But now James gets it too. You know, he's like, hey, my brother wasn't as weird as I thought he was. You know, he's like, he was the Messiah. But he gets it. And so he's very serious. He's like, there's an urgency in the message that James is saying. Stop being divided between both these worlds, man. It's like what Elijah said to the Israelites on the Mount Carmel. Decide who you're going to serve. You're going to serve Baal? Serve Baal. If you're going to serve God, serve God. But decide, man. Decide what you're going to do here. Okay, look at Psalm 105 and verse 4. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. So, how do I seek the Lord? Well, how about every time I get into Scripture and I say, God, feed me. I say, God, reveal yourself to me. God, I want to grow in relationship with you. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, man, I have to make myself just stop and read and hang out with Jesus, because there's a certain drive in me to where I want to get certain things done every day, you know, so I can say, I did that, and I feel good that I did that. But that's not really beneficial just to say, hey, I read a couple chapters a day. You know what I mean? I mean, anytime you get in the Word, that's a good thing. But what we need to do is kind of slow down and say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. And it's like what Scripture says, I meditate on the Word. I read the Word. I meditate on the Word. Or I think and chew on the Word. And then I obey the Word of God. Can I get a witness? Okay. And that's what we got to do, man. See, worship, praising God, praying to God, praise and worship, praying to God, spending time in Scripture, fasting and spending time with the Lord. These are all things where we are seeking God's face, where I say, I just want to know you more. I want to grow in relationship with you. I've tried everything. I've done everything else, and it's a dead end. It's a waste of time, and here I am at this stage in my life, and I don't really have any time to waste, and I just want all of you that I can handle. And by the way, for those of you that may be thinking that way, you know, my clock's running out, and here I am. I'm serving the Lord now, but I feel bad because I don't know how much time I got, and I wasted all this time. Well, when a thief is caught, he has to repay seven times over, you know. God can renew, and God will renew what Satan has tried to steal out of our lives. But let's move forward here, church folk. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. And let's go to the next slide. Let me enjoy some of this sparkling water. Psalm 27 and verse 9. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. David is, what David's saying right here is, God, don't be disappointed in me. God, don't be displeased with me. Okay, and that's something very, very important right there. You know, can we grieve God? Can we grieve the Holy Spirit? Remember, we read that verse in James where he's talking about, you know, purifying your hearts, washing your hands. And if we go back and you just stay where you're at on the same slide, but, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, remember this one? If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, if my people would want me instead of all this other stupid stuff and pray and seek my face, and look, and turn from their wicked ways. He's talking to God's people right here. And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And then we see the same things in James 4:8. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So there's something going on here. And so David obviously gets it. He's like, God, I don't want to have displeased you. God, I don't want anything between us. And like I said, David understands without God, there ain't no hope. He knows that. And he knows that God's got a massive calling on his life. He knows that God's got some big things for him to do. How would you like to be anointed as a little boy and the prophet, you know, informs you that you are going to be the next king of Israel? As a little boy, that'd be quite a weight to hold. But you know, also at the same time, man, this little old basically peasant dude, this shepherd boy, God saw him and picked him out for this amazing task. Okay, anyways, moving forward, Psalm 27:9, hide not your face from me. God, do not be displeased with me. But look also in the same verse, Psalm 27:9, it says, O you who have been my help. See, David knows, listen up guys, David knew that God was faithful. He knew that God had been there in all the past victories, all the past battles. That was because of God. God is the one that gave him that victory. So it says, you've helped me in the past. I know. I could talk all day long. I could talk forever about the mighty exploits that you have done and how you have been there for me. But God, don't let me displease you. Don't let me have grieved your heart. And he says, O God of my salvation. He knows that his Savior is God, not just going to save his soul. And David has a handle on that. David understands that. But David is also going through some sort of crisis, some sort of storm right now. And he says, God, I want to get through this. I want to get through this. I want to get through the other side of this. And I fully expect that you are going to get me through to a place of victory. Not just save my soul. Not that anything's better or bigger than that. But he says, right here, right now, I know that there's a calling on my life. I know that I ain't the king of Israel yet. So I know you're not done with me yet here on earth. So I need you, and I'm trusting in you to save me or deliver me through this current crisis, this big crazy mess, to get me through this. He's confident in God, but he says, let's talk about this first, Lord. Is there anything between us? Have I displeased you? Have I grieved you? Okay, so that's not just for David. That's not just for someone 700 years ago or 4 years ago or last week or the church down the road. That's for us as well. You know, that's for us right here in VLC in Northwest Florida. Okay, so look at Isaiah 59:1-2. Let's talk about this, kind of what David is talking about. Have I grieved you? Is there anything between us? So as Christians, we got to understand this, that we can hurt our fellowship with the Lord. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay, Isaiah 59:1-2. And we need, my gosh, my goodness, my gracious, we need that. We need to be able to communicate with God the Father. We need to have that in times of struggle, in times of peril, in times of just, man, I'm just so tired, I'm so burnt out. God, I don't know what to do. We need to be able to come before the Father and seek his face, and we do not want him to turn away from us and say, you need to work on something first. Okay, Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, this is good. It's like Lynn Hiles used to say. No one even knows who that is except for Sister Claudia and the Berries and Rhonda. But he used to say, his cat that used to come down and preach. He's real famous, by the way. He's like on TV and stuff. But anywho, he used to come down here and say, it might be tight, but it's right. And this is a good example of that. This is God right here talking to us. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. Okay, that's a very interesting verse. Okay, remember, God is the all-sufficient one. Okay, he knows what we're up to. You can smoke the cigarette behind the shady tree in the high school, and maybe the teacher won't know about it. Maybe, but God knows about it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. David himself said, wherever I go, there you are. You know everything about me. You know what I'm up to. Now look at verse 2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Now that's scary, because when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, okay, through Jesus Christ, I have direct access to the throne room of heaven. I now have access to the creator of the universe. God the Father is now my adopted father. He is my father now. But see, if I refuse to give up sins, if I refuse to deal with the things that God wants me to deal with in my life, it's not like I'm kicked out, okay? It's not like I'm kicked out of the family. You need to listen up here. But see, okay, well, let me just say this, okay? If you are completely comfortable, if you are comfortable with the sin that you got going on in your life, and you're not worried about it one bit at all, you're not grieved about it, you're not thinking about how it affects you in your relationship with God, would you do this if Jesus Christ was in the room with you? If that has no effect on you, then you may not have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the first place, okay? Now, I'm just saying, I'm not here to judge anybody on their relationship with God. Only God knows, only you know, okay? But moving forward, all Christians, none of us are perfect. We've accepted a perfect gift, but we can have strongholds in our life that are not the good strongholds. Like David talks about God being his stronghold. We can have strongholds in our life, areas that we will not turn over to God, that we will not let him have access to. And there's times when God says, enough's enough, man. I've pleaded with you to deal with this. I don't like this going on in my kid's life. Okay, so what that can do is that can hurt our relationship. It can hurt our fellowship. It can grieve the Holy Spirit to where we're in a situation like this. Not that you're not loved, that not that you're not God's child, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Look. And your sins have hidden his what? His face. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. You just got a stagnant relationship right there. You know, it's not going anywhere. And you're like, God, I really need you. And so David is kind of going through the list, so to speak. He's like, God, don't let there be anything between us. Don't let there be any roadblocks between us. I need you. I need you now. Matter of fact, look at Psalm 139. I've prayed 3 times to have a good singing voice, and the Lord said, nope. Yep. I mean, pray without ceasing. Man, I'll tell you what, Scott, it would be rocking, man, if I could sing. I got a buddy, and this is kind of a hip happening thing, you know. It's really cool when I watch this dude preach. He's a good friend of mine, and he'll be preaching just really awesome, and he'll break into like singing, you know, like singing is like, dude, that is so weird. It's so weird, but that is like awesome. I wish I could do that. But here we are. Here we are. So what are you going to do? Psalm 139, 23 and 24. This is David himself talking to God. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. This is a dangerous prayer. Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And that's important, man, because there's a lot of stuff on the surface, man, that we know, okay, I shouldn't be doing that. We need to deal with that. But sometimes we can actually deceive ourselves. Our hearts can be very, very corrupt. Our hearts can be very deceitful. Let me say it like that, right? And we can trick ourselves. Sometimes we're just trying to trick other people. But sometimes we've actually tricked ourselves. Like, you ever known them people that lie so much? Never mind. Hey, do you know anybody like this? Never mind. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He's inviting God. He's giving God access. Say, God, search me and then show me. Search me and bring it to light what is not pleasing to you. And if you pray that, I guarantee you, God's going to begin to reveal stuff to you. Because as they say in the North, ain't nary a one. They don't say that up there. None of us are perfect, right? Okay, look at verse 24. And see if there be any grievous way in me. Any grievous way in me. Okay, search my heart, expose what I need to work on, and then do this and lead me in the way everlasting. Show me how to deal with this and help me move forward. I just want to know you. I just seek your face. I just want more of you and less of me. That is what I need in my life. Let's go to the next slide, church people. Is everybody all right? For my father, this is a curious verse. Psalm 27:10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. So David's like, if my closest and dearest earthly relationship was to fail, if these two people that I have counted on and depended on and thought that would always be there for me, if that falls apart, if I'm rejected by these precious people. So it's like a what if, or do you think, is it possible that David maybe dealt with some rejection issues, that maybe David had some issues in his life where he felt abandoned by his folks? It's not exactly clear to me, but whatever is going on, we have this comparison to that closest earthly relationship, you know, a child and his mother, a child and his father, and them abandoning you, leaving you by the side of the road. And sometimes we can feel like that when they pass away. Yeah, it's like, man, I just feel abandoned. Sometimes we can feel like that because they abandoned you, you know? Let's be honest. But David's saying, you take the best, closest, most intimate relationship of people that you dearly need in your life, and if they were to reject you and abandon you, God will not do that. Don't get him mixed up with that kind of behavior. He won't do that. He is faithful, okay? So yes, David said, God, search my heart. Don't let there be anything between us, okay, because I need that fellowship with you. And he knows that God is never going to forsake him. God is never going to abandon him. Did God abandon the prodigal son? Did the father abandon the prodigal son when he went to go sow his wild oaks and spent the inheritance and all? Father didn't abandon him. Father was waiting right there for him to return, you know? Okay, so I was thinking about this, you know, because I always found this verse a little interesting because we don't know nothing about David's mama. We do know a little bit about Jesse, his daddy. And so one of the things that we do know about Jesse is that when the prophet Samuel was told to go to Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel, okay, Jesse, David's father, thought, Jesse, his dad, had to think this. Well, if one of my sons is going to be the next king of Israel, which is a mind-blowing thing in the first place, but if one of my sons is going to be the next king of Israel, I don't know which one it's going to be, but one thing I do know, absolutely do know, Martha, we both agree on this, you know, David ain't the one. David ain't going to be the king, so let's send him out there with the sheep. We won't even let him be around for the church service, the sacrifice, the feast. I mean, the mighty prophet of Israel is coming to town, coming to hang out with me and my family and to anoint one of my kids the king. Let's just get David out of the picture. Let's just send him out there. So maybe he did deal with a little rejection in that area. Like, Pops, what am I, chopped liver? You know, look at your neighbor and say, what am I, chopped liver? Okay, so Samuel 16:11, if you want to look this up. Then Samuel, the prophet, said to Jesse, David's dad, are all your sons here? Okay, Samuel goes down the list. Samuel thinks the first one, this tall, handsome guy, is going to be king. And God kind of sets him straight and says, no, you're looking at the outward appearance. That's kind of the whole Saul thing there, Samuel. You're looking at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. And so Samuel goes down the line of Jesse's kids. God didn't choose any of them to be the next king. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all of your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. There's the young one, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So maybe he did have a little rejection issues. Maybe that was something that he had to struggle with. Okay, and maybe we have to deal with stuff like that. Maybe we don't. But see, here's the picture that David is saying. The most precious relationship in your life can fall apart. People can leave you. People pass away. People die. People decide they don't want you anymore. These things happen in our world, okay? But David says God is not like that. God is forever faithful. Can I get a witness? And then that we see this backed up. We see this in Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Can a woman, this is crazy, Isaiah 49 verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Well, we're starting to see a lot more of that, aren't we? Starting to see a lot more of that. You know, these ladies leaving their babies in the car so they can go gamble for a few minutes in the truck stop and then forget their baby. And, you know, just legit situations where people just, I don't want this kid, okay? But looky here. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, even your mama. It ain't impossible for somebody to just completely abandon you, reject you. There's a lot of selfishness in the world, okay? Even these may forget, but look at what God says. This is important. Yet I will not forget you. God's not going to forget you. He loves you. He cares about you. He is forever faithful. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. I love this verse. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Because we all need earthly friends like this, or you know, friends or family members that are with us through the thick and thin. We all need that. We all hunger for that. But even if you don't have that, we do have access to that because this is Jesus. This is a picture of Jesus. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father. This is a picture of God's faithfulness. So let's think about God's faithfulness and let's read this verse. A friend loves at all times, whether it's popular or not, whether you're on the top of the mountain or in the valley, whether you got no friends or a million friends, you got God. A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. See, that's God. He is there for us in the best and worst times of our life. He is completely faithful. He loves us with an undying love. So David's got this picture. He says, God, I need you. I seek your face. I want more of you. I want to grow in relationship with you. God, no roadblocks between me and you. Nothing hurting our relationship, Lord. Search my heart. And God, even if my mom and my daddy would have let me go or have let me go, I know that you're going to be there for me. And that's how we need to be. We need to understand that we have a God in heaven that loves us with an undying love. And he honestly and genuinely cares about us. And he knows what you're going through. Father God, we just love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your blessings. Father, we ask you right now to take care of our precious sister Kate, Brenda, and David, Mr. Bruton. Father God, Donnie, as he prepares for this surgery, Cindy and Miracle, and Brother Bill Tompkins, Lord, bless this congregation, this group of folks, Lord. Let us hunger and thirst for you, and let us love one another. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.